iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com. iGlobalNews.com. Om Bhurbhuvah
And welcome to the iSpirituality Show right here on iGlobal Radio. And my name is Tony Patti, and we're very proud to be joined today by Professor Noel Pringer and Dr. Gaurav Pringer, who we'll be hearing more about in just a few moments' time. Now, most people think that science and spirituality are totally opposite fields of studies, and as we speak from our experience in both areas, that they are two sides of the same coin. The aim of the science is to uncover the deepest spiritual truths, and the aim of spirituality is the search for the cause behind scientific fact. Physical scientists who have chosen science as their field are not much different from spiritual scientists who spend time engaged in the spiritual search. They are both seeking the answers to the same question, but in different ways. They're both here to find the hidden laws of nature, the higher power that created everything, and use their discoveries to better the lives of others. And in this episode of our Science and Spirituality series right here on iGlobal Radio, we talk about the science of yoga. Yoga is an ancient practice. It's been associated with cultural, religious, and physical activity for more than 2,000 years. Its practitioners have asserted its effects on balancing emotional, physical, and spiritual health for decades. But only recently, there's been a move to substantiate these claims through research. Professor Noel Pringer and Dr. Gaurav Pringer explain more to us here today.
We ended the last podcast on artificial intelligence with a question about intelligence versus consciousness. To recap, we can train an artificial neural network to make decisions by defining what a favorable outcome looks like. And then the AI will learn how to make decisions that give the best outcome. But the computer, or the program, or the artificial neural network, whatever you want to call it, is not aware or conscious of what it's doing. And in fact, social media companies have dabbled with the idea of letting an artificial intelligence learn from our activities online. Then, if someone passes away, an AI is active online, behaving just as that person would have, liking posts that it thinks that person would have liked, or sending messages using the same kind of language that that person would normally have used. Given the amount of data that these guys have about us, it certainly seems feasible. But whilst the decisions being made about what to like and what to say would be very convincing, the AI is not conscious, is it? I guess we need to go one step back and ask what we really mean by consciousness.
Yeah, I'm afraid Western psychologists and scientists have mostly focused on explaining human behavior, and still do not have a satisfactory explanation of the human mind and consciousness. One of the best descriptions of mind, on the other hand, in Hindu philosophy, can be found in the Mandukya Upanishad, where three states of mind, waking, dreaming, and deep sleep, are described as the three letters of Om, A, U, Ma. We had already discussed it in our first podcast. It is worth looking at how a human being is modeled in Hindu philosophy as we go from the outer body to the innermost deep consciousness. Human personality is built of five layers called koshas. The first, anamaya kosha, is the gross body, the outer senses that feel the world around you. Then, pranamaya kosha. These are the nerves carrying the signals inside. And then, manomaya kosha, the feelings, the emotions, the conception of thoughts. And then, vijnanamaya kosha, that's the intellect, rationality, and decision-making aspect. And finally, the fifth is anandamaya kosha, blissful inward awareness. These koshas are interlinked, indicating that human personality coexists simultaneously at a physical, mental, intellectual, and spiritual level. The aim is to transcend all these koshas, all these layers, from the outer layer to the innermost.
Okay, I get the explanation of the model in the sense that there's an outer or physical shell that interacts with the world, and then at the other end, there is our deepest inner self that we're trying to connect with everything else. And it's like the old analogy of, you know, we are the driver, we're not the car itself. But how do we bridge that gap and connect our outer and inner selves?
Right. So the philosophy of the Upanishads and the practice of yoga helps one to discover the changing and the unchanging aspects of oneself. Please remember, in our lives, we have to deal with both the changing and the unchanging. Yoga keeps the constantly changing empirical self, you know, the one that is experiencing the outside world, body, mind, intellect, etc., called the Prakriti, separate from the eternal, constant, unchanging self called the Atma. At the same time, it is the union of the self, the Atma, with the Supreme Self, Paramatma. Union of the power of life, Shakti, with the power holder, Shiva. This English word yoke perhaps conveys the best meaning of the concept of yoga. A yoke is used in a rural setting to connect a bull or a horse to a cart or a carriage. It represents two seemingly opposite functions. On one hand, a yoke connects, and on the other hand, it maintains the separation between the two.
Okay, I guess a similar analogy, maybe a similar word, is spoke, the spoke on a wheel. So when a wheel is spinning, the outer rim that connects with the road and, you know, experiences friction is actually moving faster and is, if you like, busier than the other parts of the wheel that are closer to the center. So to understand this, try this experiment at home. Keep your arm straight and draw the largest circle you can with your hand. When you do this, your shoulder is in the middle of a circle and it hardly moves. It's kind of the Atma that stays, you know, constant and still. Your elbow is partway along your arm and it might travel, believe it or not, almost 2 meters as you spin your arm around. But your fingertips at the edge of the circle will probably travel nearly 4 meters. Your fingers, elbow, and shoulder are all connected together by your arm. But the outer edge of the circle is very busy, moving, always changing direction, like your physical body. And the center, your shoulder, is not moving. It is calm and still, like the Atma.
Absolutely. If the axle is wobbly, you are not going to have a smooth ride. Aim is to keep the axle steady in spite of the roughness of the road. That is why in yoga, they put emphasis on the stillness of mind. You know, I once met Dr. Alan Watkins, a neurology consultant from Imperial College London, who has conducted research on improving human performance. He proposes breathe. Breathe rhythmically, evenly, and through the heart every day. B-R-E-A-T-H-E. His research has shown that we can make step change in our performance by regulating our heartbeat, because our heartbeat is correlated with our lows and highs of our performance. We can stabilize our biology with rhythmic breathing and improve our performance. Our behavior is underpinned by our thinking, feeling, emotion, and ultimately our own physiology. Yoga is based on the simple fact that the ultimate core of our being, the Atma, cannot be realized without the use of the body, the mind, intelligence, and the consciousness. which are all part of the Prakriti. All of these can be refined to increase the awareness of the self, which will help one lead a healthier and more blissful life.
Thank you for being with us for this particular episode of Science and Spirituality with Professor Nawal Prinja and Dr. Gaurav Prinja. In this episode, we heard all about the science of yoga. Do stay with us right here on iGlobal Radio when we look forward to our new series of East Meets West.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iglobalnews.com.